Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind. Hey, what's going on? It's your man Casanova Williams with another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. First, like I always do, I have to thank my listeners. I thank all you for sticking with me. I know lately I have not been on the podcast like I should be. But it's a good thing. And let me tell you why it's a good thing. A lot of great things have been happening for me in my life. Me and my wife are really deep into this Couple Critics project where we're critics. If you go to couplecritics.com, you'll see us criticizing and do a podcast and reviews or movies, shows, streaming shows, restaurants, things like that. We're building a team of people across the nation that'll be part of this. So it's really, really cool. We're working on also our brand of life coach. So we're doing the divorce not an option as well. So we're working on the visuals and the production of that to take it to the next level. So I have a lot of projects going on, you know, working on revamping the product line, working on my book, which is 99.9% finished. I was going to launch it this month, but unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff going on, so I may have to push that back to like November, December, but the book is 99.9% finished. It's just a few edits here and there, but it's definitely a great book. I'm very proud of it. This book took me about 2 years to write because I really wanted to write something that was to the point. I didn't want something to be long like my other books, but I wanted it to be impactful, and I definitely think the way it is, I'm very proud of it. My network, we did a revamp of the network. So many things happened with that. But, you know, saying we made moves, our first moves again to the hotel restaurant business and some other businesses as well. So just a lot of things going on. Good things, which has really prevented me from doing the podcast regularly like I want to. But I'm going to make this priority. I'm doing some developments. I know you've been saying, Cash, you've been saying this for a while. And I know, I really know. But it's just so much great stuff going on. So I know the absence may look as a bad thing, but trust me, it's a good thing. And it's really because of y'all that I'm able to do this. So I will never forget this podcast. And you're going to see this really elevate to the next level. Now, as you may see the title, I'm talking about Diddy. P. Diddy. I was going to say, am I crazy? Do this for the cast segment of am I crazy? But Crass is crazy. But I decided to do a regular full podcast on this because it really shows. It's really an example of Black men and what could happen to us. You know, we sit here and we go back and forth about wanting to be successful. We go back and forth about wanting to be heard, wanting to be treated fairly, wanting to get the opportunity to make it, to be successful. Because at the end of the day, either you are successful or you're not. You know, men that are successful, rich, get the women, get the attention and all that stuff. Men that aren't, don't. Particularly Black men, we're expected to be breadwinners, you know, the whole 50-50 thing and things like that that go around. There's a lot expected from us. Either we're excellent or we're trash. Diddy's situation is a prime example of what I did a whole section in the book. When the allegations first came out about Diddy, what delayed the book was me revamping a chapter. Because one thing I noticed, and I think I've talked about this before, but I'm going to talk this more into depth right now, is that I talk about what we need to do to be successful. I wrote a book about the three keys to achieving success. I write about it in my books. I talk about it in my podcast, what it takes to be successful. But not much is talked about after you become successful. Because I think that's something that as Black people, especially as Black men, we don't discuss too much. We've been suppressed and we fight through all this pressure and discrimination and we fight through all of this bias against us. And then when we finally in our heads get past it and be successful, quote unquote, nobody talks about what to do then. Right. Diddy's a prime example. Now, you can't knock his hustle. You can't knock his success. Diddy is one of the most important, have been one of the most important people in the history of hip hop and music. He has been a trendsetter. He gave us business and style at a time when men weren't doing it like that. He looked like he was above RuPaul. He was untouchable. He was a powerhouse. He has tackled and has been successful from clothing to music to movies to film to entrepreneurship products. I mean, Diddy has done it all. I don't think there's anything Diddy has not done. And you know, if you don't know Diddy, you know, he started off, his name is Sean Combs. They used to call him Puff Daddy. His most successful artist and memorable artist is probably Biggie Smalls, which is probably arguably one of the most lyrically talented, best rappers of all time. He also had a other great artists he's helped a lot of careers on, like 112, Mace, I mean, just a lot of people. Diddy has put on work, but he's a producer. He's worked with a lot of people in the industry. He was a powerhouse. You know, he was known for a lot of things, but there was a lot of rumors for many years about Diddy. You know, he had the show Making a Band where you saw his tenacity for business, cutthroatness, which, in general, you know, when you're in a business, a position of business and power, you have to be at a certain step, you know. But there was always rumors about Diddy's parties, his sexuality, him deboing people. There was a case, you know, he did go on trial for shooting somebody, but was found not guilty of that. He also was accused of beating Nas's manager with a bottle because of something with a video he didn't like. He also got to it with J. Cole. He got to a fight with Drake at one point. I mean, he's been known to, you know, he's a Harlem cat. He's from New York. So he's been known to be in some situations with a lot of people. He's been known to do a lot of cutthroat things in the industry. Now, I want to start off by saying this. I am not a person that looks at it from a color standpoint. And what I mean is, I don't believe that because you're a color, you're Black, that you cannot achieve. I do believe that because you're Black, you have to know how you move because you're a bigger target. Now, Diddy, if you look at all the people that have been taken down in recent years, Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, now Diddy, now other figures, Russell Simmons, all this other stuff, they were all taken down when they weren't relevant. What I mean relevant is when they didn't have power moves going on. For example, when Bill Cosby was on the Cosby Show, because let's be honest, a lot of these allegations about Bill Cosby were in the 60s, the 70s, before the Cosby Show even was on air. But when he was on the Cosby Show, he was directing, you know, a different world. He was, you know, he was a powerful person in Hollywood. Rumors were there, but nothing. R. Kelly, even after the whole minor case was out there, you know what I'm saying? Nothing. You know, when he was writing hits for everybody, untouchable. Russell Simmons, when he was running Def Jam and he ran it and all that, nothing. All these people, you know, Diddy, you know, when Diddy was out there doing his thing, powerful, nothing. When they become where they're not relevant anymore, that's when these allegations start coming out. Now, people may say, well, is it because he's Black? Maybe that's a factor. And to be honest, it doesn't matter. Let me tell you why it doesn't matter. I know this is Black men's mental health. You're saying, yo, Cash, you're not fighting for the Black man. You're not talking about the Black man. But I am, in a sense. All those people that were convicted participated or did things to leave themselves open for these allegations. Now, with Diddy, it all started pretty much with Cassie. He's with Cassie for like 10 plus years. And she filed a lawsuit saying that he used to beat her, all this freaky stuff. They used to do things like that. Now, I am not the one to knock on anybody's sexuality or how they get freaky. Do you? If you want to have threesomes, orgies, gay sex, lesbian sex, take whatever you want to do, live your life the way you want to. I'm not here to judge it. But see, when you live that life, a lot comes with that. Unfortunately, there was a video of Diddy beating Cassidy, kicking her, dragging her, things like that. Even though she still stayed, even though, you know, there's probably a lot more to the story, but that video is damaging. Now, people have said, oh, well, you know, why that video didn't just coming out? Why, you know what I'm saying? They're trying to frame Diddy. They're trying, and you know what? You're probably right. But see, the thing is that he did that. See, it's like in the hood. This is a phenomenon in the hood that I think is ridiculous. There'll be somebody that kills somebody, rob somebody, do some foul stuff. And then everybody in the hood, because he's popular, people like him, are having free Pookie shirts. And we tend to do that as Black people. We tend to try to not look at what they do, but look at justify. Why that word left me? Justify the situation. Yeah, he did it, but it shouldn't be a but. Regardless of what was going on in the relationship with Diddy and Cassie, Diddy beat that chick in that hotel. And that's wrong. It's on video. Now you expose yourself. Now, let's just give the benefit of the doubt, right? Even if we're talking about benefit of the doubt, right? Let's say he was drunk that night. That was the only night he ever did that. He apologized. They made up. They kept dating, right? But does that make it any better? A grown man, Cassie ain't a big thing. You know what I'm saying? He beat her. Point blank. He opened the door for every other allegation. Now there's a hotline with over 10K, 12K people saying they've been insulted and raped and touched by Diddy from 9-year-old kids up. I think it's all BS and all garbage. I think the floodgates are open and Diddy's going to be dealing with lawsuits for many, many years. Even if he gets off the current charge he's in jail for. So it doesn't even matter if he's found not guilty. It's still going to go on. I mean, shit, Chris Brown, that thing happened 20 years ago, close to 20 years ago. And they're doing another documentary on Chris Brown. So at the end of the day, it's going to follow him. But see, the problem is that these people do things to leave themselves open and don't like the effect. I think I said this in another podcast. I was talking to a friend of mine and she was on probation for doing something wrong, right? You know, I won't name her names, but, you know, she got a DUI for drunken driving and she injured people in the accident. And she's a good person. So she's not a bad person at all. She's a really good person. And she made a mistake. You know, she had some tragedy in her life, which led to her drinking, you know, things like that. So, you know, justifiably, she was doing things she wasn't supposed to because she was dealing with traumatic experiences. But she got into an accident. She's driving drunk. She got into an accident, hurt some people. She's on probation. So she was complaining about the court system, how she think it wasn't fair, that she said she was paying her monthly thing, but they forgot to tell her taxes. So when she thought she was on probation, they said, so it was a, you know, kind of a sketchy situation. I agree. Like, damn, it's kind of messed up, whatever. But see, then I started to think, okay, I get it. Maybe you feel like you're being unfairly treated. But let's be honest. What you did, you had victims. And those victims didn't get to choose what happened to them. It wasn't fair to them what happened. They did nothing for you to injure them and hurt them. They were just living their life and you did X, Y, and Z to them. Now you're complaining about about your punishment being unfair. You're trying to say that it's unfair how you punish me. But it wasn't an offense to those people that you injured. We want to sit here and say, well, you know, she stayed with Diddy. And you know what? Yes, that's another discussion. That is definitely another discussion. But at the end of the day, Diddy beat this chick. And we're trying to justify it because of some Illuminati or conspiracy theory. And you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But as black men, when we get famous, we start to think we're untouchable. Because think about it. We come from a place where we're feeling we don't have power. We come from a place feeling that we don't have control. And then when we get there, it goes to our head because we've never been taught how to do it. See, most cultures, even white cultures, you know, Asian, all that, they've been set up for success. They've been disciplined growing up to see, to know what it is to be when they are successful. Their goal is to be successful. They grow up with the idea that they will be successful. So when they get there, they have certain discipline. Rich kids raised by rich parents see how they move. So they understand how to move, whether it's with caution, whatnot, all that. They understand. But when you never had nothing, you're not taught that. When you get to a certain platform, you don't know how to act. Because see, the thing is this, black men, and we know we are very, very, I want to say attractable. We are very, we're high commodity when we are successful. Black men that are successful are so desirable around the world. We are the most desirable men in the world when it comes to women for attraction and things like that. You know, we are labeled the best lovers. We are labeled the best lookers. We are labeled the men that can satisfy their women. Every type of relationship dynamic, a black man is desirable. Poly relationships, one-on-one, even in gay situations, gay men like black guys. So at the end of the day, we are very desirable. We are very desirable, period. So when we become successful, that is like something that is phenomenal to people. So we're attractable. People are attracted to us. People want us to be around. But see, this is the problem. Because they have this idea of us. Once we're not this idea no more, there is no second chances. There is no, get back on your feet. There is no, if I have nothing to do with you, then I'm gonna let you go down. Because none of these people are being accused of stuff that they haven't done. Now, it may be exaggerated, so don't get me wrong. I think Diddy stuff is highly exaggerated. Do I think he sex trafficked chicks and stuff like that? Nah, but do I think he was deboing niggas and shit like that? Yes. He's a businessman from New York. He was handling his business the way he thought he should. So I think there's some situations that were bad. I think, with Cassie, and I've been in situations and understand in my life when you have control over somebody, you know, it goes to your head. We've all been there where it's gone to our head. So imagine you're a billionaire. Everything you want is at your fingertips. It goes to people's head. I think for black men, it goes to our head and we don't know how to control ourselves. Then we do things to leave ourselves open for prosecution down the road. And that's what happens. I wrote a book I wrote a chapter in my book about, you know, after success, because I know I went on a tangent just a second ago, talking about when we become famous, we have to check ourselves even more. Because see, the thing is, we're not new money. We're not old money. We're new money. And when you go into that world, people are watching you. And you're as irrelevant as your current product or whatever you're doing that's getting you to that point. So at the end of the day, you have to understand that you're going to a world that isn't yours. You were only in it because you were given something. And once you stop giving that, then you're open. And on the way to the top, you're always going to make enemies. I always tell somebody, there's no matter how nice you are, there's always somebody out there that doesn't like you. You don't even have to know people and people be envious of you. And in the right situation with this world of content creation and social media, people will use you to help themselves. If they could do a lawsuit or something go viral, embarrassing you, that helps them out, they will do it. So you have a target on your back no matter what. Every celebrity has a target on their back. Black men, unfortunately, we're doing things to have that target even more on our backs and people to use it. Because let's be real. If you look at every celebrity, white, black, no matter what, they all have targets on their backs. A certain amount of targets. Black men, we have more of a target because of how we live. We're flashy. We're exotic to people. When we walk into the room, they're looking. If you're a good looking black man, they know you got money. They're looking at you more than looking at that old white man with money. They don't care about that old white man with money. Because let's be honest, those ladies are just going to use that guy for his money. They have no physical attraction to him. They have no feelings, no nothing. So they're there because, hey, he's a sugar daddy, whatever. But black man, you are young. You look good. You got a nice body. You got a big dick. You fuck well. You know what I'm saying? You look good. They're going to fall for that. And the minute that you don't do what they say that they think you should do for them, they're mad at you. Women are very, 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 very vengeful. And the minute you're not what they want you to be, revenge. They don't care about that old white man, that old Asian man, because they never wanted him. They just wanted his money. But you, they want all of you. They want your looks. They want that dick. They want that money. And as soon as you don't do it, you're done. Even if it's a platonic relationship, as a black man, they're looking at you because either you're the type of black man they want and can't get, or they're the type of black man that their father should have been. They're the type of black man that insulted, that dissed them. I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons. I've been in workplaces, right, where I knew that these other black women didn't like me. Because I talked about my wife. I'm not an ugly dude. I'm a good looking dude. You know what I'm saying? I drive nice cars. I dress fly. And I used to, when I was in the services field, as you know, has a lot of women in it. It's probably 90% dominated women. And there's a lot of black women that work there too. And I'll tell you, these black women did not like me, not because I did anything. I was flirting with them because I used to talk about my wife, right? And I didn't talk about every day. It wasn't like all the time I was talking about her or anything like that. No, you know, during conversations and stuff like that, I always kept my conversation business. And that's me personal. I just talk about my wife in general. Oh, you know, me and my wife going out tonight, but just general stuff, not bragging like, oh, my wife is fly. No, just regular stuff. They looked at me, and a lot of these women are single mothers, you know, or divorcees, and they look at me and I'm the epitome of what they think their man or their husband should have been. Like, he's good looking, drives a nice car, smooth. Wow. And women are very envious of other women. And it's like, oh, how she get that? She don't deserve that. And then they start not liking me because I'm the man that they should have had and they didn't. And you know what people may say is, oh, you being, no, it's the truth. And now you out here, you famous. And I'm nobody. I'm not, you know, this is before the podcast, before I was in the music, before I was doing my thing, before I had fans, all that stuff. That was when I was nobody. Now I just don't interact like that. So, you know what I'm saying? But that was when I was a nobody. Now, I can imagine being rich, being in public eye, being fly, having a high sex drive, fuck these chicks, right? All that stuff. Yo, they're going to start hating on you. In the music business, when a deal don't go right, you could, and I've signed artists and I've given almost all my money to invest in these artists, to come out with nothing from them, for them to still complain about what I didn't do for them, to want to betray me and go work with somebody else. This is men and women. I wasn't nobody. I had some deals. I did some stuff in the music, you know, but I wasn't on no Diddy level. And I still had those problems. Women that were mad because I didn't talk to them. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't coming on to them at all. Women that got confused of me being nice by that I wanted them, even though I never said anything and did nothing to them to imply that. But in their head, they thought, oh, he wanted me. Or use that when a guy, one artist I was working with, female, and never did nothing with her. Nothing. Nada. Worked with her for two years. I thought we were cool, right? Come towards the end of her contract, you know, it was an automatic renewal, right? If I remember right, because this was years ago. And she owed me some money because I invested and per the contract she's supposed to give it back. And towards the end, I thought we was like, hey, you know what? It's cool. You know what? We did everything for these 2 years. You know, she's a mother. She had a lot going on in her life too. So, you know, it was kind of hard to really push her as I could, but it was cool. You know, so it was just a little bread. It wasn't even a lot. It was like $200. It wasn't even a lot of money. Maybe it was less than that. Right. So I was like, all right, cool. You know what? Per the contract, once that's paid out, it won't automatically renew. I told her, hey, I'm not worried about that automatic renew. Just give me that money back. You know what I'm saying? Just to close this out. We close the contract. We cool. All right, cool. No problem. Right? I get a call from her. Yo, Cash, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got a situation that I'm going to go to. I need to get released from my contract. I'm like, all right, cool. No problem. I'm like, yo, shoot me that bread and we good. You know what I'm saying? Just shoot me that bread and we good. You know? Oh, well, I don't think I should. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's what you owed. Like, I'm not charging you for all the other stuff during the contract. Studio time, makeups, all this travel, all this shit that I paid out my pocket for. I ain't give that back. I ain't even going for that. But this $150 for this was very specific. Like, yo, all right, cool. Well, I don't think I should pay that back. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yo, I don't understand where this is coming from. But obviously, I guess somebody was in a year. The new people that's going to fuck with her, whatever. So I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not going to release it until I get that bread. Contractually, I could do that. Contractually, I could do other, add even more to it. I'm just talking about this 150, 200, whatever. It wasn't even a lot of bread. I was like, this is small bread. Well, if it's so small, then you should worry about it. I'm like, this is just the principle of it at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not charging for other things, but I'm charging for this. And you said, this is cool, no problem. And she's like, well, you know, how would your wife like it if she knew you was trying to come on to me? I'm like, what? But if you break my contract, I won't tell her. And I'm like, wait. So you trying to blackmail me right now? You trying to use this as a bargaining tool for me to release you from the contract? A contract that you obligated, that you signed on for? Some small bread? And instead of you handling your business properly, maybe try and negotiate another price or what. Now, being real, like, Cass, I don't even have the cash right now. I can't work. So, no. You trying to blackmail me by attempting to ruin my marriage. And the thing is, she knew my wife, too. Wasn't like she ain't know her. They hung out. Cool. You know what I'm saying? They in the studio together. Shit like that. But you threatened to go tell my wife that I'm trying to holler at you? I was like, yo, one, you must not know my marriage. I was like, so good, go holler, have fun. But I ain't budging. Now you owe me more dough. Now I'm enforcing all that shit. I send a bill for some dough. I said, and my lawyer will be calling you soon because now you try to extort me. Now you try to blackmail me. Oh, Cass, I didn't know. No. You try to blackmail me. I don't play those games. You threaten my marriage. So you know what? You want me to speak to my lawyer. We're going to have a good time with this. And I'm taxing everything in the contract. I got receipts. So you want to do, go ahead. Throw your allegations. Have fun with that. But I guarantee you're going to see me in court and I'm going to get my money. About a week later, she wrote me this check. Nice little check. Because yesterday's prices weren't today's prices after she did that shit. And she cut me a check. Nice check, too. way more than what she could have got out of her contract for. See, and the reason I'm saying that is that my experiences, and I'm not Diddy. We weren't talking about multiple million-dollar contracts and world tours and million-dollar merchandises and recording it, but we didn't even talk about none. This is little bullshit contract or independent label shit. And I went through that. So I could imagine somebody like Diddy, what he's been through, why these people hate on like a RG Day and these people just hating on Diddy because business don't go right. You know, I could tell you all day long what I could do for you, what I want to do for you. But you know what? At the end of the day, sometimes it don't work out. But then they blame you and blackmail you. Like I said, I wasn't nobody. Nobody then. And that happened to me. So I could imagine on a Diddy level. So I take it with a grain of salt when all these people coming out saying, you know, oh, I hate Diddy. He did this. He died. You know, good business. It will look as bad business to an artist that's not happy. Ain't got nothing to do with the label or the manager. It's just their career didn't pop, but they want to blame everybody for it. So I take the shit with Diddy a grain of salt. But the problem that we have is that too many shit done happen with Diddy that he did. See, and that's the problem. When you open that door, the floodgates come in because now it's hard to defend that I'm not an abuser. See, and people are trying to capitalize on that. You got what, 10,000 people hitting up the hotline, 1,000 people plus whatever, hitting up the hotline, talking about Diddy done beat them, raped them and shit. Come on now. But see, the problem is now you got to fight all of that because there's evidence out there that you did do it. You know, it's like the boy that cried wolf. It's the exact thing. You cry wolf one time and it's not there. Then when there's a real wolf, you cry wolf. Nobody's going to believe you because you have a history of being a liar. Once you do something, it's hard for people to believe any other way. Once you murder somebody, then it's hard to believe, oh, he's no more a murderer. I mean, that's how they treat pedophiles. And I'm not here for that discussion, people. But at the end of the day, once they do that, they want to register for the rest of their lives. You have to register as a pedophile. A person that commits a felony, right? They get out of jail. They commit their time. They can't get jobs and they're still in prison technically. So some things you just can't take back. Diddy can't take back a videotape of him beating the shit out of Cassie. And it wasn't like it was a tug of war back and forth or he smacked her once or not. He was kicking her, throwing her, kicking her. I mean, it was bad. So what can he say now? And that's the problem. You open the doors for these people to do this. Even if Diddy's not found guilty of the sex trafficking and shit like that, he's going to have lawsuits out his ass for years to come. He's going to spend all his money just defending. And nobody in the industry is going to touch him. See, and that's the problem. He's already done. Even if he beats everything, he's already done. The damage has already been done because he opened the door for people to do the allegations. He opened the door. He's done enough dirty shit at the end of the year that I don't have no sympathy for him. I love myself some Diddy. Everybody that knows me knows I love Diddy. A lot of people say my style is like Diddy and stuff like that. But not to, you know, his style, like, you know, the parties and shit and baby oil and giving people IVs because they're tired. I don't know what type of sex he having. That's some next level shit. But when you're wrong, you're wrong. And as a man, he did things to leave himself open for what's happening right now. And as black men, when we get power, it goes to our heads because we've never had it before. So he out there having a good time being reckless, leaving himself open for what's happening right now. And that's the problem. So I'm sympathetic because on one hand, I don't want a black man to go down. Diddy has been very important to the music scene here, to developing black people and black artists and stuff like that. And it's been very crucial to our movement in music. He's been very crucial. Nobody could ever erase what Diddy has done. But unfortunately, while he was making history, he was doing all this stuff. Now, I don't believe half the shit, don't get me wrong, but even two or three of the shit is still bad. Because what we got to understand as black men, when we get a certain, when we get to a certain of fame or success, we have to move differently. See, when I got to the point I'm right now, I move differently. I move with my wife. I move with my close peoples. I'm not out there doing shit that's next level. I'm not doing business on certain levels anymore. Not because I can, it's because I understand that I can't do business with the average person like I used to. Because the average person don't look at me as a regular person no more. They look at what I got. They look at the car I drive. They look at money I got. They look at my style. They say, you know what? This guy right here. Because see, what we tend to do as black people is we tend to try to stay in the hood. Meaning we tend to try to stay average with the people we used to mess with. See, Diddy wasn't sitting. These people that are doing allegations, they weren't just regular people. They weren't like stars or next level people. These are regular people, people broke people, people that you gave them 5 minutes of fame because they were in your world. And they still want that. And then you take it away from them. So they're gonna do it. Then when you get people like Cassidy, young girls, and I'm not saying that Cassidy wasn't wrong in her sense of leaving Brian Rezzi, all that, but that's another story. But in general, you got this young girl that, of course, was smitten by you, and you made her your slave to do whatever you want her to do. You just used her. Because think about it. After you, what did she do? She married the trainer. She didn't go marry another superstar, another rich guy. No, she married the trainer. So the mentality wasn't next level. So of course, the first opportunity she get to make some money or whatnot, she's going to use that. That's what they do. That's what people at that level do. Me and my wife just joined this very high-end exclusive club, membership only type thing. Right. And when I tell you the difference of people, the difference of class, of networking, the opportunity is completely different. See, you don't hear people like Denzel Washington, Oprah Winfrey, you know, these next level people still in the hood. They're not networking in their old hoods no more. They're not networking with the new hot thing. You don't see Denzel Washington kicking it with Sexy Red in the club. You know, these black people, when they elevate, they surround themselves with people on their level. They don't go back down. They don't say, oh, I'm real, I got to get back to the... No. But the people that do that, you see, like, for example, T.I. and Tiny, you know, now they're a couple, they're having fun, right? Cool. They want to have threesomes, foursomes, eightsomes. That is cool. But see, they're messing with people on the ghetto level. And even though they've won lawsuits and stuff, but the problem is all that problems they're going through because they're messing with women that are not on their level. These women get jealous because they see what you got and what you live in. They get a piece of that by being with you. And then if that's taken away, they don't know how to act. And did do everything to hurt you. See, when we get to that level, we got to move differently. Diddy wasn't moving differently. Diddy was using his money and influence because he never had it. You know, he grew up struggling, using it like, y'all can do whatever I want. I could be out here and get, you know, 40 chicks in this. But what caliber of these 40s, these are the same old women that hop from party to party looking for clout. You ain't messing with the next level chicks. You got to move differently. Like, we go to our club and it's fancy, you know. It's a exclusive club, you know, dinner, you know, it's like our pseudo office now, heart of downtown, where we live, beautiful scenery, you know. I mean, it's classy. The caliber of people, you got real estate moguls, you got all these different types of people there, right? A whole level, you know, you got charity events, you got, this is a whole bunch of things going on another level of life. And that's what we stay around now. And I'm not saying nothing wrong with people. I'm not saying I'm turning my back. I'm saying F. No, not at all. Don't get me wrong. But you got to elevate your life. When you get more money, more opportunity, elevate your life. Because the more you elevate your life, the less trouble you stay out of. Because you can't be who you are still being hood. You can't go forward while looking back. You can't talk about I'm high class, next level, but you messing with these industry chicks that go from party to party. That party living with two other roommates in an apartment in downtown Hollywood, you know what I'm saying, where they got their clothes in a bag, but they go out and they, you think they rich because they wannabes. Those are the women who are going to see opportunity. And you know what? Let me not get on the women, but men too. There are men out there that see opportunity and get out there and sue. Oh, I got beat up at a concert. Oh, they looked at me wrong. Oh, they stepped on my shoe, whatever. So you got to stay away from that stuff. Diddy was doing wild, reckless stuff. I don't feel for him because he did some dumb shit that left the door open for the floodgates to come in. See, the problem is we have to take accountability. During my journey, through my mental health journey, as y'all know, my biggest healing was taking accountability for everything that went wrong in my life. I took accountability for everything and said, I did it to myself. And it made me, I had a lot of fucked up people that did wrong shit to me, people that I had to all that. But I understand that those people I let in my life, there was red flags in the beginning, but I let them in my life. I let them inside my personal to for them to be them to hurt me. Now, see, the problem is me saying that doesn't negate the fact that they not good people and did fucked up shit. See, and that's the problem. I'm not negating that these people were fucked up and they did shit to me. But I'm being honest by saying that I attracted them in my life and left them in my life. And reflecting back on the relationship, there were red flags there already. But I was, whether I was pessimistic, I was an opportunist or whatever the reason was, I allowed that person into my space enough for them to hurt me. So you have to judge better. You have to understand that everything in your life you control. Now, the amount of control is up in the air, and that's debatable. But in general, you're in control of everything in your life. The outcome of your life is the sum of your deeds. Let me say that. The outcome of your life is the sum of your deeds. I believe the universe is connected. I believe that there are multiple doors that open, and you choose what door to go through. But the problem is that people don't choose to go through doors and then blame everybody else for their problems. And a door may just simply not talking to somebody. A door may be calling that person for that business connect. The door may be going out one night by yourself just to navigate. So, I mean, whatever the door is, doors open and you choose which ones to go through. And when I mean doors, opportunities. There's an opportunity for me right now to get up, go downtown and start networking for other podcasts or for this podcast. That's an opportunity. I can do it. I have gas in my car. People are downtown. Opportunity. But I may choose not to. And that's fine. But see, opportunity is always there. And we choose it. And all those opportunities may not wind up to be good. Because just like you could choose good, you could choose bad. But at the end of the day, you chose it. So when you look at somebody like Diddy or anybody else that's getting accused of or accusations, yeah, there are times where shit is fucked up if people do things to you, but you leave the door open. You know, like Johnny Depp and his girl, you know what I'm saying? He won the case. He did. But they were both abused. They were in a toxic relationship together. And as soon as he hit her, he should have left, but he didn't. He stayed. He continued to try. And he left that door open for what happened to him. He was canceled. He was labeled an abuser. He had a fight to be vindicated. So at the end of the day, we make choices. The outcome of our lives is from the sum of our deeds. So I don't feel sorry for Diddy. I feel more sorry for the culture, because as people, we look at Diddy and then we jump on a bandwagon and now everybody's against him. The diddler and all these jokes is only by us. We should never celebrate the downfall of a black man. We should ask for justice and fair trial. If he did it, then he get prosecuted accordingly. But we should not be joking about his downfall or celebrating it, because it really hurts the culture. How many black leaders and moguls do we have that they didn't purposely tear down? But unfortunately, these black leaders and black people that are leaders or could be leaders do so much that is hard for anybody. You know, it's like the red pill phenomenon. You know, it's how these podcasters bring these women that got two baby daddies or they're OnlyFans or they're prostitutes or escorts, whatnot. They bring them on the show and then they sit there and talk about how they're bad, what they should be doing and stuff like that. Right. And on one hand, yeah, it's justifiable because these girls are doing these things. But on the other hand, the people are just exploiting it. They don't care about these women. They don't care about really helping them out. They're exploiting it for content. Yes, these girls do these things for the exploration, but these people are using it too. So it's one thing to be a victim, but it's also another thing. You could be a victim, but also do things to create people to use you as a victim. You know, I always say this example. It's like a woman running through Central Park without a bra. Now, is the people that did it wrong? Hell yeah. They should never rape. No, I don't care if a woman's butt naked with a sign that says rape me. Nobody should be raped. Nobody. But if you know that there are rapists in the park, why would you run through there without no bra, without no shirt? You know what I'm saying? But then when it happens, you play the victim. Then everybody's sympathizing with you. No. You're stupid for allowing that to happen. You set yourself up for that to happen. Now you want to cry. And that's what it is. These black men are setting themselves up, but then want to cry when somebody exploits it. They're exploiting the truth. I don't know how that works. So at the end of the day, I don't feel sorry for Diddy. I wish him the best of luck. I hope the truth comes out. I hope that he gets a fair trial and things are explained. And I hope that he learns from this and maybe does better. Who knows what could come out from it? But I'm not crying because of the allegations. I'm really not. Because he did things to open himself up to what's going on now. And as black men, we have to learn that success comes with responsibility. And in that responsibility, watch how you move, because what you do today could be used against you tomorrow. And then you can't argue that I didn't do it or you shouldn't be doing this to me when you already did the wrong. So you have to move differently. All right, people, I appreciate you for another Black Men's Mental Health podcast. Go to CassandraWilliams.com. Check me out. Go to the all new Culture Radio, theCultureRadio.com. We got a new logo, more music, more stations coming, more shows. Like I said, it takes a while to build these things, but we're moving along. We're the fastest growing independent radio station in Florida now. And it feels good that we are have accolades and we're pushing it. So go download the Culture Radio. It's on Google and on Apple. TheCultureRadio.com, where you can listen to all the stations and see what's going on with us. CoupleCritics.com, me and my wife, we're critics, baby. We're doing it. We got other critics as well on there. So go on the page, check out our critics, our movie reviews, label reviews. Cruises, we review restaurants, concerts. So check it out, okay? Until next time.